Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Well, after yet another strong set of interim results, Vukile Property Fund has proven once again that sometimes boring can be absolutely beautiful, especially when it means inflation-beating net income, fortress-like occupancy, and euro yields north of 7%, with both the South African and Spanish portfolios firing, and a very disciplined capital strategy keeping the dreaded equity raise at bay. It's clear that CEO Lawrence Rapp is playing the long game, much like the Proteas who finally broke their 25-year hoodoo in India earlier today. Lawrence, great to have you back with us. Let's just start with the numbers. Those portfolios delivering like-for-like NOI growth comfortably ahead of inflation, both here and in Spain. What were the key drivers behind that performance, and how sustainable is that momentum heading into the second half?
Michael, thank you very much for having me on the show. And look, I think our great numbers. South Africa was up by 10%. Spain was 8.7%. And we feel both of those numbers are very sustainable, and we should see similar growth going into the second half. South Africa really being driven by two things. One is sort of some good top-line growth, but also a very, very focused effort from Itu and his team on bringing down the cost ratio. And to a large part, that's through energy management and other sustainability initiatives. And those are most definitely sustainable long-term wins that we're getting there through our solar PV projects, our battery storage, and even our water. You know, that should make us around 20 million a year. So very confident that that will continue at least into the next 6 months, and hopefully well beyond that. And in Spain, I think what we're seeing there is not only very good top-line growth, but also the growth coming through from the value-added projects that we've executed. And you're now seeing the full benefits of those coming through. The El Faro Center, for example, Del Sur, where all of the value-add work is now really complete and tenants are trading very well. So we are confident that these numbers can continue.
Yeah, Castellana's reversion profile trending positively at nearly 5%. And in South Africa, you've clawed back into marginally positive rent reversions as well. So, yeah, very good all round. You've consistently spoken about Vukile's cash-on-cash philosophy. How is the Bonaire acquisition performing on that front? Has it met your underwriting expectations since acquisition?
Absolutely. So Bonaire, when we bought it, we also had an income guarantee. And, that meant that the yield was guaranteed, the return was guaranteed for 18 months. What is exceptionally pleasing is we actually are not having to draw on that guarantee. In other words, the center is trading at a level at least in line with our underwriting, and we expect it to go better than that. So it really is panning out very well for us. I think we bought it at an exceptionally good yield. The market has tightened from there. But what's really exciting about Bonaire is that its sales are up about 2.3% relative to this time last year. And I remember it had to recover from the disastrous floods that they had in Valencia. So footfall is nearly back to where it was, but sales are ahead. So that shows that the shoppers are coming back. They're spending more money. There's a very strong affinity for the center. So we're really excited with that purchase. And there is expansion opportunity there in terms of GLA that we are starting to investigate and analyze to see if, when, and how we look to expand that center.
And let's turn now to Lar España. You've now exited completely. Talk to me about the timing and whether or not this marks a more permanent shift away from listed property counters.
Well, the stake in Lar España was always a strategic acquisition. And, we sort of felt that we wanted to try and use that to drive a merger or a takeout. We either could have been on the cards. Unfortunately, you very often need two to tango, and there wasn't a willing partner on the other side of the table. So we always knew when we took the stake that we bought an exceptionally good time in the market. So it's trading at a 50% discount to book value. We're getting a yield of, I think, north of 12%. And we always felt that the reason we're buying this was to drive corporate activity. If that didn't happen, somebody would come and take it out, and that we would, in all events, make a very good capital profit and being paid a very good dividend to wait while that played out. And that's exactly what transpired. So whilst we put a huge amount of effort into trying to drive the corporate activity for various reasons of their own structure, they really rebuffed all of those efforts. And in the end, the external management company put in an offer to buy out the business at 8.20, and we negotiated that up to 8.30. So for us, it was a phenomenal trade. That money got recycled into Bonaria, as you know, and that sort of is a permanent play. So when we do look at listed stocks, and it's not something that we do very often, it's always driven by a strategic angle of corporate activity, not just simply saying,
yeah,
buy the shares to get a yield pickup. Anybody can do that. We're buying to try and actually be an activist shareholder and unlock value and build a bigger and better business.
Looking at your balance sheet and the potential to execute in the future on such opportunities as and when they might arise, in your investor briefings, you've obviously stressed that no equity raise is needed. Very reassuring, I think, in this market. But what does that imply for your acquisition capacity or expansion ambitions over the next 12 months?
Well, when we gave that messaging of no equity, that was in, I think, March of this year. And that was because we had really expanded the business dramatically. We felt we needed to bed those acquisitions down, which we've done. So that's been one of the highlights for us of the last 6 months, is the full integration of the assets we've acquired in Portugal. And that's now bedded down and really operating business as usual. With that behind us, we then did decide, in fact, to go to the equity markets in October, and had a tremendously successful capital raise. We raised 2.65 billion rand. That's our biggest ever. We were twice oversubscribed and with very strong offshore demand for our shares. And that has now helped build our cash pile. So we're sitting on about 5 billion rand in cash at the moment. We've also been working over the last few months to build a pipeline of opportunities in both South Africa and Spain. And we have two assets, one in each at the moment, currently under exclusivity and due diligence, as well as a few others that are quite far advanced in discussions. So we have got a very exciting pipeline ahead, and also the money available to fund that pipeline. So we don't need to raise more money for the existing pipeline that we have on the table. But I think we have some exciting opportunities, hopefully, ahead of us that we're looking to close out.
Fantastic. Much like the Proteas, Lawrence, it would be remiss not to sneak this one in. After 27 years of heartbreak, we finally lifted the ICC World Test Championship mace, and we've beaten India in India after 25 years. Between Castellana's growth and the final at Lord's, which gave you more pleasure and goosebumps?
Well, I have to tell you, today was difficult because I was trying to watch the end of the test and prepare for results. It was difficult, but what a great result today. That really is classic test cricket. And, kudos to the Proteas. I think it's an exceptional result. And I think we're both cricket fans. So I think probably I'm still going to side on Castellana's results, but I get tremendous joy watching our team win.
Yeah, well, fantastic. Lawrence, I think, the team as well at Vukile performing like champions in the REIT space as well. Another set of phenomenal interim numbers. Look forward to chatting to you in the new year. Take care.
Thanks, Michael. Keep well.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.